Are you leaving or are you on your way back home? Either way, we want to be there. Doesn't matter how much baggage you claim. Give us a time and date, terminal and gate. We want to send you off in style. We want to welcome you back home. Tell us all about it. Were you scared or was it fine?
Mouth horn. With Karen and Chris. Welcome to Do You Need a Ride? This is Chris Fairbanks.
This is Karen Kilgariff.
We are in Silver Lake.
Silver Lake.
The heart of Silver Lake. The heart of it, knowing because we're by the Silver Lake Lounge.
Yes.
And the Silver Sun Liquor Store, made popular by the Silver Sun Pickups, a indie rock band who
here
used to...
Here they are now, walking across the street.
Here they are. Oh, I'm so glad he's maintained his side mullet. Also made popular Cameron Esposito.
If a woman in the Midwest had that haircut, you'd be like, yes, absolutely. It's Silver Lake, and it's a boy in a tiny jean jacket. What looks like a baby's jean jacket. And so you're like, hey, it's a band.
If he was in Salem right now, and I'm not talking Oregon, there would be a trial without a jury.
Yes.
And it would involve pitchforks being on fire because that guy
is the devil.
An indie rock witch. We are about to pick up UK comedian Chris Martin.
What's that going to be like? I know absolutely nothing about this person.
I did a podcast with him. They are also on, he and this guy, Carl Donnelly, who was in the UK. Somehow they did it with technology to where it seemed like he was in the room, but only audio-wise. I could hear him in my ears. I was wearing a weird headset thing. I don't understand.
You were in an isolation tank.
The science of it. And then some guy punched me in the stomach like Houdini.
That's very important.
I came to, and they said, you're like the David Copperfield of Houdini's Day, which I thought was weird because I would think Houdini would be the Houdini of Houdini's Day.
Of Houdini Day?
Yeah.
When is Houdini Day this year? Is it on a Sunday?
It's right after Grandmaster Flash Day.
Have you seen that thing? Sorry, but this is a sidebar. My favorite thing is there's a trend where all these grandmas accidentally tag themselves as Grandmaster Flash on Facebook.
Oh,
and someone's made a compilation of all the times it's happened. So it says, it's like family picture, and then it says Grandpa and Grandmaster Flash.
It's so great. That means that they happen to be friends with Grandmaster Flash?
Yes. They're family friends, but it's funny when you switch names.
Oh, I love it. I'm going to turn down
the
air.
Is there air sounds?
There's air sounds, but that's only because, and if people need a reminder, we are in a moving vehicle.
We're in a moving vehicle. It's February, but it's Los Angeles, so it's 80 degrees outside.
Yes,
so we need to turn the AC on.
Sorry if you're ass deep in a snowbank, Minnesota.
Not our fault that you moved to Minnesota.
Yeah, you're too scared to leave. You're too attached to scraping your windows and getting yelled at by your Grandmaster Flash.
And you just can hear the clicks of people, fuck you, de-subscribe.
De-unsubscribe, I believe.
De-Schneider-scribe.
Oh, have you heard De-Schneider's podcast? It's all about hair and weightlifting.
It's all just tube socks. Isn't
that
weird?
He's huge. You know, I hope that him pulling a Joe Piscopo doesn't affect the popularity of the...
Twisted
Sister's music. Thank you. I almost said Iron Maiden. He seems more
very
like
similar.
He's a maiden to me.
He's maiden-like.
Chris Martin.
Not the lead singer of Coldplay.
No, and I'm worried about making that joke. I'm sure he'll be like, oh, I've never heard that one before. Bloody Rich.
Wait, who's in the car with me?
Top drawer.
What the fuck?
Why, it's me, Chris Martin, from the radio's Coldplay. Oh, I'm a real Radiohead. Oh, damn it.
Oh, damn it. That's not my band.
I keep promoting a competitor's band with calling me what I am, which is a Radiohead. And then those blokes came along with the lazy eyes.
No.
I'm so Australian all of a sudden.
Really quick, I'm totally on the wrong street, right?
We're now
in historic Filipino town. You know you've made a terrible mistake.
Yeah. When you delve into their history, here comes a car. We are doing a 3-point turn. Do you remember Oh, do you want me to look up the address again?
No, I just think that I turned down. You know how I like to do where I just go down one street?
Roundabouts.
It's a little roundabouter. You know, it's Sunday afternoon.
And he'll be fine. We have plenty of time to get him on his aeroplane.
Okay, good.
But I had so much fun on that podcast. They were so great. You and I like to riff. I say something. Maybe it doesn't make sense. You go with it anyway.
I make less sense.
Together.
That's supportive.
It is senseless, but cohesive.
Yes.
That's how I felt with Carl and Chris. It was really fun.
Oh, good.
They were really sweet. We covered 1,000 topics, never really concluding one. And that's how I like to do it. It was really fun. So basically, I feel like I was on the UK version of Do You Need a Ride, but in a studio.
Oh, my God. This is like having an exchange student in high school. Did you ever have an exchange student?
My mother had 2 Japanese girls living in the basement, but it was never explained to me why they were in the next room.
Wait, is that true?
It is very true.
Well, this will be like that, but I think less confusing. It's very direct. Our podcast is here in America. His is there in England, and now we're fused. We are forever joined.
Yes.
Right?
Through the allthingscomedy.com family.
Oh, he's on All Things Comedy also?
Yeah.
Well, that's great.
Yeah. This is a cross-promotional effort.
I love it.
To remind you to listen to all of them at once, all the podcasts on All Things Comedy.
And just because England at one time was our oppressor and was super into taxation without representation, that's not how they are now.
You know what? He's right next to the... And look at that English car.
Yeah.
He's... yes, let's try to leave your politics out of this.
Okay, well, we'll see how we do. I mean, he might be
the one that starts it.
If he starts it, I'm going to finish it.
Kissing a girl goodbye.
Because let me just tell you...
Leaping off athletically from a wall. He's getting in the back seat.
And getting in.
He knows the routine.
Hello.
Sorry,
hello.
The blanket might be askew.
Okay, can I sit on the blanket?
It's a bit of a sheet to cover the dog hair.
Yes.
You'll see once you get in.
Every person has a dog in this town.
Should I speak into the microphone?
Yes, exactly the way you're doing it. I will adjust the levels accordingly.
This might be the first time you've had a grown man cry on your podcast.
What are you going to cry about?
Oh, no.
Because you had to say goodbye.
I had to say goodbye to my fiancé. I went to see her for 2.5 months, which is like so long.
That is a really long time.
It's quite funny that I did pencil in the podcast. I was like, it's probably not the best time to get one. But then I thought, like, it's a free lift to the airport.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Absolutely.
Let's be realistic here.
Take advantage.
So you put a blanket down, but then how do I put a seatbelt on?
Yeah, you might not be able to.
This is like a trust game.
Hi, Karen, by the way. Nice to meet you.
Hi, nice to meet you.
Karen Kilgariff, Chris Martin.
Good.
He's the guy I was talking about, the podcast I did with Carl Donnelly.
This is the one.
Yeah. It was very fun, remember?
If you want to move that sheet, the dog hair won't get on you. It's kind of embedded in
the
material.
Oh, that's fine then. I just thought, you know.
It's as,
I'm going to get felt up at the airport by the guy anyway. Make it more interesting because I don't want to go to the x-ray machine.
I understand you wanting to have a seatbelt. A lot of people throw caution to the wind just for the sake of our podcast, and it's dangerous.
Really? It's very 70s to not have a seatbelt.
It is.
Yeah, but we're not in a Volvo. Let's be...
What are we in? I don't know cars. I'm really bad at
it. This is a Honda Fit. And,
good car.
Interesting story. About a year ago, I was in a... I was in a terrific... I had a great ride in one, and I thought, well, I hope I ride in one of those again. That was the story I was going to tell.
That's a good story.
Yeah, thanks.
It's just a positive story.
This is recording, yeah?
It is. We are indeed. Okay. You are.
Otherwise, why am I talking into a long black pole?
Yeah.
It's good to practice.
It's a good mic, though. You got proper, like...
game show mics?
They are game show mics. Very thin, long, thin, with a little width at the top, which I like. Yeah. I feel like I should be doing, what's that game you got? Is it Jeopardy? Is that the game you guys play?
Oh, yeah, of course.
And my memory, my knowledge of that is off the film White Men Can't Jump, where Rosie Perez revises her knockers off to get... One is a quahog.
Oh, Billy, you're so stupid.
Oh, sorry. Every time I'm with you, I do a some sort of potentially racially ambiguous accent. Sorry, guys.
We had a racially ambiguous accent off.
Did you?
Oh, it was so fun.
It was great.
That was a real melange of accents right there. There's a lot going on.
I don't really play Jeopardy so much as get frustrated and leave the room to pretend there's a meatloaf in the oven because I don't know the answers to anything. So I go look
at it. Jeopardy's like a family game where when I go home, we all watch it together and compete and try to beat each other. It's really nice.
I rarely know anything on it. It's a show that makes me feel stupid.
Yeah, it's like, do you guys have Trivial Pursuit, the board game? I mean, that is like, I could be playing that for half a day and I'd still only have three pieces of pie. Is it pie or cheese?
It is pie.
It's pie.
I think it was, is it not cheese?
Yeah, it could be cheese.
A wheel of
yellow.
Cheese. No, but who cuts up cheese and dishes it out in individual?
There's not a lot of green.
I guess a monger. A cheesemonger, isn't that?
Is there pink cheese?
There is pink.
There's Red Leicester, which is from Leicester and it's red.
Where are you from?
I'm from London. Where?
Born and raised?
Born and raised. Wow. On the playground is where I spent.
Most of his days. A majority of his days.
A lot
days.
Of my days, and the rest of them were spent on the tube, as we call it.
Minding the gap.
Minding
the
gap.
Time.
Oh, so you've both been, haven't you? Have you been to London? Yes. Do you like it?
I love it.
I love it. I haven't been. I've been to Manchester. We talked about I only made it as far as Manchester. I wasn't quite ready for the big city.
Did you land in London and then immediately depart up to Manchester?
I went to Manchester, went down to Buxton. The quaint down in the eastern, southern eastern.
Yeah.
And it was very quaint. I saw someone had died in the 1600s, and I read his tombstone. You know you're in an old country when someone... We don't have tombstones from the 1600s.
Really. Not really.
You don't have anything. I went to a deli of yours next to the Laugh Factory, 1926.
That's as old as our country.
The oldest thing in this whole
the
land.
The day our... Declaration of Independence was signed 1926.
They all had some olives and some marinated artichokes to celebrate.
We're wearing
Bob Greenblatt was like, let me memorialize.
What better way to celebrate this than by opening a lovely sandwich shop
where everything costs $15?
Yeah, it was overpriced.
The first time I went there was when I first moved to LA, and I was so shocked at the prices. Because it was like, oh, let's just go there and get a sandwich. And then I was like, I have to borrow money.
Right.
I can't afford to be at Greenblatt.
I don't understand, like, Cantor's. You get a pastrami sandwich. It's a stack of meat. Sure, I see the value in that. But $14?
Yeah.
I can't wrap my mind or my mouth. It's too thick.
I still don't get brunch. Like, why? When did eggs become expensive? Who decided that you had to... Firstly, queuing for good... I mean, like, the... It's mental to imagine telling someone that who doesn't know, like an alien, I queued for eggs. They're like, oh, were they really like a rare? They're the most common cheap thing you can buy on earth. And I queued for an hour to have the really good.
On weekdays, you could get them any time of day, but it's just Saturday and Sunday. You'll wait in line forever.
Why?
That's Los Angeles, too, because there's about 7 good restaurants.
Really?
And that's where everyone goes.
I think. Yeah. I think all the food I've eaten is nice in this town.
Yes.
You
haven't eaten anything bad.
I'm
from London and I'm from England, which is you guys always take the piss out of us for our cuisine, but I see I'm like, fair enough, guys.
You know what? There were things and I was like the traditional English breakfast. I'm not that big of a fan of canned beans, and my breakfast floating upon there are certain things I was like, I don't get it.
It's a sea of
it's
beans.
It's too wet.
History food.
Too wet.
Yeah, I guess that's true actually. Yeah, it's quite a wet.
But I had a lot of great food, too. Oh, it just depends on what you're used to eating.
Sure.
It's another country, for God's sake. A lot of people don't realize that.
What?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I know.
I had no idea.
You did not know you were
totally
a global
different.
Traveler.
Far away.
How long were you here, Chris?
I was here, this is 3 weeks to the day. 3 weeks to the day. And I'm not going home. I'm going to Australia, so I'm going...
Nice. To do comedy?
To do comedy, to do some jokes. It's... person who booked the flights, I've had an absolute mare did you get the phrase? It's short for nightmare.
Sure.
If you didn't know, rather than like, is that like a female horse?
Yeah, I think it's a mare. Yeah.
It's good if
it's also just a time saver.
It's good to buy one so you could say that. But I've had a mare. People are like, oh, what's wrong? No, I have, look, check it out, guys. It's, you can stroke it and everything. Nine hands high. I thought LA was en route. It is on the way to Australia when you are booking the fastest
route. As the crow flies.
Sometimes the cheapest flight is not. Somehow more fuel in the air equals a, that doesn't make any sense to me now I think about it. I'm going via Abu Dhabi, so I'm going like, I'm going past the UK.
Wow.
So I'm going to Abu Dhabi, which is 14, I didn't adjust, you know, I didn't even check, it's 14 hours there, 2 hours, and then it's like another, I guess another 10 hours or something.
So what do you do? Wow. You just take sleeping pills. Are you going to pop some pills?
Well, this is, I don't normally do stuff like that. I'm trying to never really take.
I'll tell
it.
You,
I know
why.
You guys like a pill in this country.
If I take sleeping pills and then I'm on a plane, I'm liable to have some mares.
Well, yeah, exactly. This is what someone said to me. My friend went. I was like, "What's a good?" Because I know you can get stronger like stuff here.
Yeah.
And everyone's like, "We can probably get you some Valium or something." But that's prescription, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And then my friend went, "I'll give you some Ambient." And then someone told me there's like stories of people on Ambient like having sex and not remembering. I'm like, an aeroplane is the worst place to be.
No. Or the best excuse.
It's the most uncomfortable place to accidentally have sex because someone has to nonchalantly drag your limp body to the bathroom. This isn't something I usually make jokes about.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, that's, this. I mean, given recent events.
Is it used as a
roofie,
is it, over here?
I think it's roofie, Rohypnol, ketamine. Well, what did I be? I was given once in Florida.
No.
I believe I was given just a classic roofie.
For real?
The one, yeah, you but never like, heard that? I woke up and the guy was on the other side of the room.
Oh, yes, that's right.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, there was a guy on the other side of the room pleasuring himself. I was fully clothed.
Whoa!
But it's a story for another time, Chris.
No, it's a story for right now.
I've told it before on a podcast called Horrifying Road Stories That Almost Made You Quit.
Oh, my God.
Kind of a long name for a podcast. No, Murray Valeriano's podcast, Road Stories. I told it on there. I just spent a night out with a group, ended up with one person from that group, this guy. Did some drugs. I don't usually do drugs. He did something on purpose to make me fall asleep or fall down. I woke up and I was against a chair.
Oh my God.
My neck against a chair, laying down. Couldn't feel my body. Couldn't move. And he was, but I knew he was masturbating. And then he just kept saying, "I'm not gay. I'm not," and I'm like, well, that's not the issue right now. It's that I really wish you could stop doing what you're doing.
Wow.
It was horrifying. And then he agreed to give me a ride to the airport because I knew I was going to miss my flight. But he left.
That's what happened with us, guys. Yes. That's how I got in the car.
That's how this podcast was born.
That's where my fiance broke up, guys.
And not to feverishly change the subject, but we are going to get you to your plane on time. And also, pump the grapes. Pump the grapes, as
the
they
grapes.
Say at a wine factory.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Pump the break. Did you just say you and your fiance broke up? What?
No.
Oh, God. I thought that's what you just said.
No, I'd be way too casual about that. No, we just, you know.
Break it off.
We're just not in close proximity for two months.
Okay, you said a
good test, though, isn't it?
You said an Englishy version of that, and like every time Rosie Perez speaks, I did not understand. Okay. So you guys were sad because you won't see her for a while.
Oh, of course, yeah.
Yeah.
And she lives here?
Well, she's just sort of moved here. She's an actor, so she's going to be a movie star like everyone in this town, slash maybe, you know, working at a brunch shop soon. Who knows? But
it's good business.
It's a land of opportunity, guys.
You can do both.
What I love about this town is everyone has like 9 jobs. Like even like a famous director also sells vintage clothing.
Yeah,
his car.
For sure, you got to.
You got to do it out of your car.
It's all about safety nets.
Yeah. It's amazing. I didn't realize this about this town. It never really struck me. So we were staying east in Silver Lake, and I figured like it's so lovely. And I was like, I haven't seen like much poverty at all. And then someone said, you just put all the poor people below, like, a certain block in the south.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's like a weird, that's not very London. So London is like, you can go one street, you can be affluent, next one. But here is like, I must have just stayed in the nice part, like, north, west to east.
You were in the nice
Not intentionally. I don't. Right. It wasn't like, I don't want to see poor people. I just didn't get told to go anywhere like that.
Yeah, it's easy to do in this town. It's kind of weird, that
it
way.
Is, yeah. You can walk two block where I live, you can block two walks in one direction, and see, yeah, just destitute people stabbing each other. And then the other direction, it's regentrified or whatever.
It's like Amsterdam in The Wire, like, for real.
Yeah.
Where you just let... So would I, like, if I drove into, like, well, give me a dodgy area. Should we go through one?
We're
going
to drive kind of through one on the way to the airport.
Keep my eyes peeled.
Because near the airport, which I think is kind of true in every city... Near the airport, it gets a little risky. Okay.
Yeah.
That's where Compton is and where is South Central is.
Is that where you do the old press down the old... I don't know why I did that. Like, you had to hear me do it.
Yeah, yeah. But
sound effects.
Sound effects, guys. This is...
Come on.
But many-dimensional, this podcast.
Well,
I was going to say, like, 4D, and I thought that's not... That noise is not included in the 3D, 4D spectrum of stuff.
I do believe it's one of the dimensions.
Okay. Yeah, okay, good.
Sound, there's sight, there's taste. I don't know. DVDs are very high-tech these days. Have you had the new Tastable DVDs?
Tastable DVD,
But yeah, don't worry. We'll drive by a poor neighborhood, and you can click the windows in front of a family of four. And
they're going to think we're so rich. We're talking to microphones to each other.
Yeah.
These guys, they use unnecessary electronics when having just a normal conversation in the car.
We just got passed by a quiz show. Was that Cash Cab?
That's our ticket out of this hellhole, they'll say.
Is that Ben Bailey does that?
Yeah,
he did. I remember watching him years ago in the UK. He's very funny.
Oh, really? It's funny because I only know him from that show. I've never seen his stand-up comedy.
It's good stand-up. I remember, I was used to go, like, when I was underage, just before I started doing stand-up, I used to go and watch at the local club in West London, and he was like, I must have just, like, I don't think he went loads, but he must have been on, like, twice in 6 months, and I saw him both times, and very, like, you guys, very well-written, tight, good stand-up. It's good stand-up. It's Americans. You guys know how to write some good jokes.
Well,
thank you.
What and correct me if I'm wrong, I feel like almost most Americans that are worth their salt or know comedy look up to English situational and sketch comedy.
Oh, yeah.
And have tried to mimic it even. And I think that maybe what my experience in the UK was that everyone kind of looked up to English stand-up, or American stand-up. English, God, I
so
can't
you mean
even...
in England we looked up to American stand-up?
Do you feel that? Maybe
I feel
is
like,
the case?
I think you guys have got at the top of the game. You've got some fantastic stand-ups, but
right. There's a lot of middle ground. Though.
No, there's like I think the cliched, like what I would say is like what I'd imagine is like a bad version of American stand-up with some guy going like. So my mom's Puerto Rican and my dad's Irish, so drinks are on me.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm cleaning stuff. I don't know, like, whatever, like.
That's actually a good opener.
Yeah, all right, there you go. It's always my dad's this. That's like, I bet, like, if I've been to many clubs here and I have not seen someone do that. So, like, it's probably like quite an 80s or 90s reference.
But
I've seen people do it. It's the, let me tell you a little bit about myself as a starter.
It's such a weird, it's like just by being on stage talking, you are doing that. It's a funny...
Yeah, just go.
It's like me going, I'm about to say a sentence, and then just then saying a sentence.
Get ready. Here it comes.
Are you ready for some jokes, guys?
Before I start them, let me just remind you that I look like a cross between so-and-so and so-and-so.
I love... Yeah.
Let's get this started.
On acid.
Do you guys have... Someone's let themselves go a bit, or is that a phrase you don't have?
Oh, I look like Willy Wonka on a tired day.
So yeah, I've always wanted to go on and go like, I know you guys. It was always, I know what you're thinking, and then you because no one's actually. And then I want to go. I know what you're thinking. Danny Glover's let himself go a bit, and then they'd be like, what
"Yeah,
the
that's
fuck
not funny to me because I was actually already thinking that. How is that a joke if it's already
you're
a thought?
Just stating the obvious.
You didn't surprise me with a new idea. If you go to like a comedy class that teaches stand up, which there's a lot of them.
Oh yeah.
There's
so many classes in it. It's brunch and classes. That's what you guys do.
there should be brunch class.
Brunch class.
Yeah.
First rule of brunch class.
How to wait in
charge
line.
$12 for eggs.
What's order?
Second rule. Don't tell anyone about brunch class. Somehow not telling people makes it more in demand. Hipsters come there.
It would be amazing if you got to brunch class and it was just bare knuckle fighting.
Oh, that would be great. I've seen minimal violence here. I expect to see many. I did see police... questioning with two guys with handcuffs on.
Oh, well, were they at least being assertive?
They weren't holding them tightly. Like,
okay.
There has been a lot
so
of
So you saw maybe verbal violence.
Yeah, no, they had them against the wall, though. Which
A lot of times words hurt as bad as stones or sticks.
Exactly.
The saying is not Words will never hurt you, or sometimes hurt you. I think I had a stroke because for the last 10 minutes I haven't been able to complete a thought.
Mm-hmm.
Have you known it? Am I flush?
It's a no. Sunday. It's a day of rest.
Yeah, no,
you're
right.
Your pupils are both very dilated, but other than that, you seem
are
fine.
They? I had a birthday party last night, Chris.
For your birthday?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Fantastic.
And Karen got me a jar of, I believe, moonshine with maraschino cherries in it.
Yeah.
Ooh.
That soaked up the liquor, and I was eating them like I was eating popcorn at a tense movie.
Did you get super fucked up on those cherries?
I got, you know what? You don't be handing me moonshine cherries. Yeah.
Wow.
I've always said that.
Yeah, you have.
It was a great gift. I thank you for it.
The American stereotype we have of you guys not being able to drink alcohol sounds about right when you get pissed on cherries. That is.
Yes. Yeah. Well,
you got drunk on fruit.
They were very...
But moonshine cherries, it was,
so moonshine's where you make it in your bathtub, yeah?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that's
series
like
of tubes.
Typically hillbilly.
Yeah,
a like hydraulic. X's on a jar.
Yes, a pump out by a woodshed.
Tastes like hairspray.
So how did you make it, Karen?
I bought it. It was like...
Oh, what?
But yeah. There's a liquor store around the corner from my house, and at Christmas time, I went in there trying to get a last-minute gift for my friend, and they just had this whole display of cherries soaked in moonshine, and I just thought, that's everything. That's what everyone wants. So I just keep going back to that display.
Karen doesn't drink, so she actually isn't sure what everyone wants.
I'm giving them what I want secretly. I would get so fucked up on
if I was gonna, because I don't drink, if I was gonna drink, I would eat it. That's what you were thinking.
Exactly.
Yeah. Just brunch. Just alcoholic brunch.
Yep. The point is, it was my birthday. There's friends there, some I haven't seen in years. And I got a little excited, and I tried to drown it with different types of liquor.
Yeah. Everybody did.
What time did it finish?
At a normal hour. At a normal hour. We shut it down.
Can I... I went to, for my final night in Los Angeles, to what I guess would be described as, like, Hollywood-like parties.
Mm-hmm.
And just, like... I went to a Super Bowl party before with... do you guys know Dave Holmes?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's a nice, super nice guy. Invited me to... And it was like... his friend Josh's house, and there's like loads of guys who did improv in Chicago. So it's just so fun, like such a nice vibe.
Yeah.
Like, mainly comedians. Like, I'm not saying comedians are a hybrid of people, but I'm just saying, like, just easy to just. People think we're all awkward and stuff, and we have moments of that, but.
Or
we
depressed,
can also just have a chat. Like, we don't care so much about who someone is or whatever. But then last night, me and Hannah went to two, and I just. It was really odd. Like, it was... I didn't see that many famous people there. But then I comically, with one guy, I recognised him. And I thought I just recognised him from, like, Britain.
Right.
From, like, a comedy... Like, knowing a comedian and helping at a comedy. I was convinced that was it. And I went, do you work in comedy? And he was like, oh, yeah. I was like, oh, cool. Do you like... do you know Tiff Stevenson, who's just, like, a female comedian?
Yeah, yeah.
Quite well? And he went, no. I go, have you ever worked... Have you been at Old Rope, this comedy? He was like, no. So what do you do in comedy? He goes, oh, I like write with Steve Coogan and David Thiel. And then I realised
that... Was it Rob Brydon?
I'd seen him in an episode of Alan Partridge, and I was just speaking to a guy I recognised on TV, and I must have looked like I'd just done that, like, fake thing.
Yeah.
To then... And it was right by the toilet, and he was in the front of the queue for the... And I wasn't even queuing. I was waiting for Hannah. So I'm just standing...
Oh, that's...
And now I realise how psychotic it is. I'm standing up at the front of the queue for a toilet, not needing the toilet... grilling him, and then the toilet became free, and I went, you can now go to the toilet.
That's so funny. I love when that... I was jogging on the beach, as I do once every 3 months, and I passed a guy that I thought I knew, and I was like, hey! I said it with such convincing familiarity. It's like, hey! And he's like, oh, hey! And he jogged by, and then we both realized, I realized, oh, that's Josh Brolin. Famous actor person.
Wow.
And
that's a good one.
He realized, oh, I don't know that guy. He just thought he knew me.
Yeah.
And so we just both, at the peripherally, I just saw him just kind of exhale and shake his head. Very disappointed.
It's great you were jogging, though, so you could make it fast.
Yeah. Hey, we both like to stay active. Hollywood,
yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
I did that in the grocery store parking lot with a guy that I... The second I saw him, I was like, that's my friend's friend. I know him from a party or something. So we said hi to each other, and then in the store itself, we kept walking by each other, and finally I said, you're friends with my friend CJ, right? And he goes, no. And I said, oh, I'm sorry, I thought I knew you from a certain like circle of friends. And he was like, no, you look familiar to me too. And we had like this weird conversation. And then as I was talking to him, I realized he was from Snakes on a Plane, which I had just watched the night before. He was the snake expert from Snakes on a Plane, who's like, he's the best one in the whole movie. Yeah. So hilarious. And it was the most embarrassing thing. Like, as I was talking, I was like, you're from the movie I watched last night.
So did he lie and say, or do you think you were familiar to him as well?
No, I'm sure he was lying. He's trying to be polite to a girl that wouldn't stop saying hi to him, basically.
He goes, I know you too. Oh, you know what? I'm wrong. I don't know you. You're just the person that enjoyed me in Snakes on a Plane.
I mean,
the privacy of your
own. How many
home.
Compliments does he get about that film, though? So he would.
Probably not a ton.
I don't know.
I bet he doesn't get as many compliments as there were snakes on that motherfucking plane.
On that motherfucking plane.
Now, Chris, if there were snakes on your plane that you're about to take.
The plane you're about to, to make you
what
nervous.
What would I do?
What would your reaction be?
I don't know, really. Like, many snakes on the.
Yeah.
A whole bunch.
Like motherfucking
snakes. A gaggle of fucking motherfucking snakes.
I think I'd use everything near me to hit them and before I got very quickly overpowered.
Yeah.
I think enough of any, no matter how small it is, if there's more than about three of them, like over three toddlers coming for me, and if they really want it, I'm dead. Like,
Yeah.
So they're not snakes anymore. You're talking about human babies?
I'm talking about human babies.
Oh, wow. God, well, that actually might happen.
That could, that, you that know could, what? It should happen.
And you're just, happen. You're going to hit them? You're going to
I'm going to use stuff around me. I think the end of a seatbelt. If they come close
that's
enough, there's a nice bit of purchase on it.
Well,
and you can get a bit of leverage off the kind of
shit. Be sure before you do that,
around.
Pay attention to the stewardess's example of how to use that seatbelt, because you don't want to hit the baby wrong with it.
Yeah, that's the necessary thing. I love that we're doing airplane humor. Airplane humor, I still think there's so much dumb stuff on
it's
it.
Like, relatable.
It's like they're always making it dumber. Like, there's always something new they do. Although I remember why do they always check your ticket again, like when you've done it to the person, you've gone through the gangway, and they often will recheck it on the plane.
Mm-hmm.
And they've sort of stopped doing that on some British Airways flights, but then someone wrote into our podcast, I think I was talking about that, and they said, I used to work on a flight and some guy was like meant to go to Manchester and end up in like Denmark. Like that does happen. Like,
yeah.
I was like, in my head, it's only ever happened in Home Alone 2, but apparently it's happened many different times.
Kevin!
It just seems like everything's impossible now since 9/11. Like, everything's so checky. But things do happen like that all the time.
Can I ask you a quick question about LAX Airport? I was there 2 years ago. And you know, in most airports, when you go through the security, mm-hmm. you get to the really good stuff. I remember 2 years ago, there was literally one cafe. Is it still like that?
It depends on which. There are certain, terminals where I'm surprised that there's nowhere to eat or get last-minute food. And then another terminal, there's a full-on food court.
So I've got to start. I've got to just be a grown-up and ask.
You have a pretty good chance of finding something to eat, but it's...
And also, you're an international, right?
LAX is one of the worst airports as far as... Human need. Being modern in any way. It's just an airport that was made in the 60s and they haven't touched it. There's some dust and some...
It's weird, though.
You know, some...
There is that one... They put in a macaroon store in that one gate, one area that I think is so hilarious. It's like the one thing no one needs or wants. Those fancy... little French cookies that are cost $8.
I barely know what a macaroon is.
Is that the same as a meringue? Like a little meringue?
No, it's like meringues are those hard whipped cream things.
Yeah.
And macaroons look like they're pastel colored Oreos, basically.
Yeah, I know, yeah.
They're like very hip now. Which is this? You
don't
need
that. Trivial Pursuit version of I know you love a callback, Chris. I've been waiting to do one all podcast.
All podcast.
All I was doing was calling back to things, but they had been said like a minute earlier.
No, you were literally just starting your sentence again at the end of every sentence.
I would start a sentence with a word and end it with that same word. And think it was a callback word.
Just
see,
a fun
I just
bookend.
Did it.
Yep, word.
Like you were on the loop.
Yeah. Words, word am up. I right? More like Trivial Pursuit cookies. See?
You did it again.
He just did that.
This is your passion.
It really is.
It really is.
I'd love a good callback. It's fantastic.
Yeah.
It just tickles a human in a certain way. It's something about you remembering someone remembering something.
People like to be reminded that they've been listening.
It's so true.
It's about shared experience.
Yeah. And it's like we've passed the quiz. which in a way is like being good at Trivial Pursuit, and that is a callback inside a callback.
And that's,
so there we go.
We're calling back callbacks. Layer it.
Here's another thing I was going to say about this Hollywood party. Sorry to go. I mean, this is not. This is me just.
Oh, can I stop? Who was it from? Because that Alan Partridge, the movie.
Oh, yeah.
No, I don't think he's the movie.
I love
was
the
just,
movie.
I think
was he in the movie?
I think he was just a writer. He writes it. And then, he, you know, sometimes they put the writer in for a couple of minutes.
Sure, sure.
And I think he just been in, and I can't quite remember what it was.
Okay.
But I was like, but then also at that party.
Was he the guy that laughed?
It wasn't the guy that laughed. I love that guy.
Remember
he's called
that
Kevin
guy?
Eldon. The guy says the racist thing.
Yes.
Yeah.
He's
Kevin
so
Eldon.
Amazing.
He's fantastic.
I'm one of those people that is obsessed with British television.
Right. I love it. I mean, Alan Partridge is phenomenal.
Yeah. Yeah.
Me and all my friends when we were 16 used to just speak like him for... Like, and you can still hear there's quite a few people to do comment. Got this kind of like, hi guys, like, cheesy voice.
Yes.
Like, it's so fun. It's just everything funny. Everything said in that voice is funny.
And when he sings, when he, the one where he entered singing Wuthering Heights, and then right as the woman at the counter starts singing, he goes, don't sing.
Don't sing. Sounds bad. Yeah.
Sounds bad.
So who else was at this?
Oh, yeah. So the first one. So me and Hannah thought, holy pie, everyone just be like mingling and chatting. And then we sort of just after about an hour just realised, you know, like we've been putting some good solid like small talk in here, and no one gave a fuck, honestly. Like, and like I think it was like maybe one of the parties where I guess I was thinking if I had a party and I knew everyone and then two people who I just, we didn't know anyone but someone had just kind of invited me, if some, I don't know if I'd be bothered to speak to them. But there were quite a lot of British people there. But we saw one guy who is in the latest series of Homeland. Who is the... Did you watch it?
I don't.
I watched the first season.
He was a newer guy. He's like a Pakistan military chief. I think he's an English actor. And I went to the second party and saw another man from Homeland. the black guy who is the head of the... CIA? Is he the head of CIA in series one?
Yeah.
Who's also an English actor.
Uh-huh.
And that was... And then the second party was more like... The first one was quite like kind of like... just kind of small talky, like polite. Second one was like started at 10 o'clock, was like people do, we'd driven and weren't drinking, but people were doing naughty things.
Oh.
And then I just, you know when someone just kills your vibe straight away, guy next to me had a pink wig on, right?
Which
is obviously because it was a 60s party, didn't realise. And I honestly it wasn't the greatest opener for me, but if you're wearing a wig, you've got to expect someone to say this.
I went
nice wig, right?
And also, why? Why are you wearing that wig?
I just said...
That's the follow-up question.
Well, I didn't... I just went, nice wig, right? Like, expecting him to be like, oh, yeah. Like, no. Like, he honestly acted like I'd just asked to shit on his wig. He looked... And I was like... And then his mate, like, next to him, stopped talking, looked at me, and then carried on. Was like, oh, fuck off. It's like, all starts of strangest conversations are not good. But, like, at least acknowledge... At least go, oh, yeah. But, like, it was like I'd... ruin their whole party. And then I just was like, you know, when that's just someone, just rather than, as I don't know, just in, I never get angry. I was just filled with rage for half an hour.
I noticed that, and that say no one's willing to have any humility. Like, people aren't willing to be embarrassed. Like, oh, I know. Look, I'm pretending to be someone I'm not, and then take off the wig. You got me, buddy. That's how someone would act at home.
Of course.
Well, but that's also all of Los Angeles. Everyone's pretending to be someone they're not.
Yeah.
So they can't, like, that's the ultimate. Everybody's at those parties. It's like when Sarah Silverman has those parties, and everyone gets so tense
and
crazy. And high, because there's so many famous people there, so everyone's kind of weirdly posturing and not really talking to you.
Talking in a weird higher version of their own voice.
Yeah, kind of louder and higher. And
acting like they're having the best conversation at the party.
Yes.
Yeah, like, it was, I don't know if it's because, like, I was trying to think, like, is it the fact that, because everyone said, oh, like, LA fake, and I hadn't seen any of that in Silver Lake at all, but then maybe that was, like, unless you're important, no one really wants to...
You'll see it at a party. For sure.
It's so annoying, though. It was just like, I wasn't drinking, and in my head, I'm like, in the UK, I would have been drinking. But, like, I think even if I've been drinking, and they would have just, no one gave a shit because they didn't know who you were, which was a bit annoying. And I'm like, guys, in the UK, just as many people wouldn't know who I am, but they'd, you know.
But they'd be nice.
They'd be nice. I was just, he was British as well. That's what annoyed me. I was like, fuck you.
There's a lot of assholes in this town.
What I should have gone is actually, nice wig, no reaction. All right, shit wig. And then, fucking hell.
He was an asshole in Britain too. That's a funny thing. No matter where they're from, that's one thing that a lot of people that move here have in common is this assholely unshakable confidence.
I know.
And that's why they all, that's why people move here. They're like, I have something to offer the world.
I'm my town's biggest asshole, so I'm going to move to Los Angeles.
Yeah, so it's like,
see what I can do.
There've been like nice parts. There've been feels like but then yeah, I say comedians, and like, you know, you're going to get some comedians ego obsessed, but at least I feel like you could just have a bit of banter with someone and not be.
Well, don't wear a wig if you don't want to talk about a wig.
Maybe he was like a comedic juggler, some kind of.
Maybe
clown.
It was his real hair. Oh yeah, it might be. He might have had long pink hair.
What if
you
offended him?
Of course,
and
yeah.
He wanted it to look like a real hair instead of a wig.
He was born that way, and his whole life, all he's heard is people say, "Nice wig." And you. Oh yeah,
you're
it's
the
like
bad
when
you,
it's
guy,
like when
you,
it's like when you're tall and someone goes, "You're tall." He's just like, "Oh, this is my real hair, dickhead."
No, it's my own beautiful pink hair.
My dad was a redhead and my mother was a rabbit. And you're making fun of me again, just like everyone has.
Yeah.
My whole family.
And his friend looked almost as offended, and his friend's like, "Don't you know about John and his hair? Come on, mate." He's got
no,
feelings.
No, don't. That's when you just knock their drink out of their hand and walk
that
away.
I think everyone, like twice a month, you should be able to smash a drink out of someone's hands and have no ramifications to your actions.
Yes.
How much healthier would the world be? There'd be way less murder if you could just flip a tray. That's the best one.
There's a girl.
Waitress's tray, flip it, leave the building.
Sick of this shit.
One time I was at a party and everyone was kind of acting like an asshole. And this girl, Stephanie Escajeda, who used to act crazy all the time in a way that made me laugh. But she just all of a sudden said, "Well, this party sucks." And she took a bag of chips and popped it.
Oh, yeah.
Open, so they all smashed and it popped open. And she swung it around her head like a lasso. And chips went everywhere. And then she just went out the door.
Oh, that's amazing.
I didn't see her for another couple years.
Oh, that's amazing.
That's a good exit.
She went on the run after Hollywood wouldn't let her back in after a chip management.
Yeah.
She just left and started
a new life in a different town?
She just started doing some commercial acting.
Good.
Oh, fantastic.
For Lay's potato chips. No, I don't. But yeah, that was the best party.
That's a
just
great
like,
exit.
She had just lost it. She was like, "I've had enough of everyone acting the way they're acting.
Yeah.
How about I make it rain chip particles?"
I think you need to just feed a couple of just like, I'm trying to think back when I was younger, there'd be, you know, when we started drinking in the UK, and then some guy would just act like an idiot, but then it would be kind of, it would bring everyone together. I remember one guy in the year above me called Robin Kyle, and he was, he loved rugby and loved drinking loads and just being, like, you know, when some people are like trying to chat up ladies and ladies trying to chat up, and he was just like, "I will get pissed," and just, he'd like Frank the Tank in old school, essentially.
Sure.
And then he came in, he's in his boxer shorts, he goes, "Mate, everyone is swimming in the pond outside. You want to come for a swim in the pond?" I'm like, "No, I'm right." He goes, "Mate, we're swimming in the pond. Mate, check out the pond." Went outside, it was just a big puddle. He was like in his pants, just sitting in a big puddle.
Oh.
And he thought he was that drunk, he thought it was a pond.
Wow.
Which is funny because you guys all have like pools at your parties here, whereas like a pond would be off the chain to have at like an urban dwelling in London. But oh, on the left, those digging machines, they look like in Beverly Hills Cop 2 when he goes to the scene of the gun exchange. Is that where it's filmed?
And LA Confidential.
It is. I think it's probably filmed. Anytime you need to be in Texas for any movie, they just shoot that here because these are old oil rig pumps.
So what do
pumps.
They do now?
They're still pumping oil.
Is there oil still under there?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's why it's so cheap in this town.
There's also, there's oil in Beverly Hills. There's a oil derrick like that at Beverly Hills High School.
So in a high school?
Yeah, like
in,
on the ground.
It's like an episode of The Simpsons where they get a kickback off the government for letting them, like, dig up
a lot of people
oil.
Don't know. The Beverly Hills
Skinner.
That's why there's no public transportation, like, that's good in Los Angeles, because the oil companies own this town. It's what Chinatown. Isn't that what Chinatown's
I've
about?
That's what I always heard, and I don't even, I've never seen Chinatown, but I've heard the car companies try and, are the reason there isn't public transit.
Yeah, there used to be trains that went from, like, downtown all the way to Santa Monica. The train tracks are still there, but they pulled them all out because the oil companies were like, we're getting everybody in cars.
So that's what's underground. There are, like, subway entrance things that are just fenced off, and they're empty tunnels then. Right?
I think they were above ground.
That's amazing.
From what I know, but this is This could all be made up.
But there are also...
this could be a thing a crazy man in a bar told me, and I'm repeating.
This is the research portion of our podcast.
I know,
so
but it's the same
on
mine.
Go ahead and look
say
it up.
Say with confidence and let the rest fall into place.
Right?
I heard this from a tiny little expert that is conjured and sitting on my shoulder currently.
Oh, he says the most amazing things.
Sorry, now a version of him wearing a red leotard and holding a pitchfork is talking.
He says, kill all the cats. What?
Kill the cats.
Why?
What's that have to do with fossil fuels?
Yeah. You can burn them, and they're a nice substitute.
Oh, that's right.
They're actually organic.
Save the environment. Yeah.
They are. It's just like fossil fuels, because cats eat so many fish, like where they bite a fish and just pull out bones.
Oh,
they're filled with actual fossils.
Yeah,
that was probably a bad idea.
No. I like that.
Don't look at me. Look at the guy on my shoulder that's invisible.
Yeah. His catfish-based humor.
He writes exactly 50% of my jokes. Yeah. That
he I love
most of his humor
Flipkins.
From cartoons.
Yeah, he does.
He also thinks that most humans turn into big steaming hams when you're hungry. But my favorite cartoon imagery is always big steaming hams when you're hungry. Eating a fish and coming out with all the bones intact.
It's
and
the best.
Also a pie on a windowsill.
Oh yeah.
Floating towards it.
Hot pie on a windowsill.
Like you
and
have.
The smell is like a finger that goes under the cat's nose or the dog's nose and brings it towards.
I've been very disappointed by the lack of windowsill-based pies I've seen.
You got to go out to the country for that.
Oh, that's where the hobos go.
You don't do that in L.A. Yeah, someone would probably like recycle that and get some money for it. Like,
I think my favorite would have to be when you walk off a cliff and then realizing you don't have one, you pull out a sign that says, I wish this was a parachute.
Yeah.
And then you, of course, fall. After a pause, a mid-air pause.
Fall to your death.
Oh.
I like playing the piano all the way off the piano.
Oh, that's great, yeah.
It's one of my favorites.
Could you elaborate? Because I actually...
It's like when Bugs Bunny becomes a concert pianist just for shits and giggles.
Yeah, just...
And puts on white gloves.
And a bow tie.
And he plays, and then it goes all the way up, and then it just keeps going. His fingers keep going, but there's no more piano keys.
But there is still piano sound.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, that's my favorite as well.
It's stuff like that.
Are we in a dodgy neighborhood yet? No.
No, that was just that one guy. That was actually just that one guy.
Yeah. He crossed the border.
He actually played a murderer in Homeland.
Yeah.
I'm good at callbacks.
Yeah, you are.
That's not my laugh.
I think I know my laugh, and then sometimes my laugh will surprise me.
Yeah, it's just a cartoon character that lives inside of you.
Yeah. No, that was the other thing I was going to say, like food-wise. You were saying food's bad. I thought chipotle, is that how you call it?
Yeah.
I thought it was like...
I
thought it was chipotle. I thought it was chipotle at first.
Oh, no.
It was chipotle, as you guys call
it. Chipotle, yeah.
One time I was in there and I heard a kid, he was about 5 years old, pronounce it better than me.
Oh, okay, yeah, there we go.
I think it's chipotle.
Is that why people go, just to find...
I don't...
Guys, I'll have a number one, and how the fuck do you pronounce that? I thought it was like a kind of crap chain... But then I've heard from people in the last couple of days, it's like putting McDonald's out of business because it's got really high ethics and like...
It is McDonald's. It's the same parent company.
It used to be and apparently isn't anymore.
No, apparently they've got... Someone told me in the East Coast, they closed 100 stores because... Their like farm hadn't produced the level they require,
and
they said we won't serve the food.
Exactly,
really?
They did
it's amazing.
Their pork, for whatever reason, was at a lower. They're like, we found out they were feeding the pigs wrong, so we will not be serving pork. Yeah, that was an issue.
So McDonald's has nothing to do with Chipotle
anymore.
They used
to. I think they used to, and now they don't. That's what I've heard. Again. Little guy on my shoulder, little to no research.
Yelling, sell it.
We're all just passing on information.
Burrito.
What I think is creepy about Chipotle is I lived in New York like 4 years ago, and everyone in New York was constantly talking about Chipotle. Like, we have to go there. Let's go there for lunch. And I was always like, it's crappy, and it has white rice. Like, that's not Mexican food.
Apparently, the only thing that makes it unhealthy is the rice. Apparently, the rice is just riddled with...
chemicals?
Yeah, bacon fat.
Well, but then when I got back to California, like 3 years later, they start opening all the chains. Then I found myself going there all the time. And now I kind of love it. And I feel like it's it's chemical. Like, it's not my choice. It's not good Mexican food.
Right. No, it's the same reason I smoked cigarettes for 12 years.
Apparently, yeah,
Chipotle,
but like,
proud sponsor of Do You Need a Ride?
Yeah.
Go get you some. Get addicted.
They really need the advertising by the sounds of it.
Chipotle,
well.
Don't say it. Eat it.
Yeah. But, no, I thought, yeah, I like the sound of it. I mean, you never know if it's PR or not, but I think that's good.
Yeah.
That they care.
Yeah, I heard that they care, too, and they were, like, I didn't hear that they were closing, but I heard they're, like, no, that topping is not available right now because it's not up to our standards, which you don't hear from a
lot. Don't hear that in McDonald's. Pat, someone told me they put beef in the chips in McDonald's, which is a funny... You know when you hear that they do that and it's like, how is there not a cheaper option?
The French fries?
Someone said that as... Yeah, I think Carl, actually, again.
Oh, wow.
He read it somewhere. I heard him say it. And so
I just saw... Yeah, I just saw a thing that said there's 19 ingredients in McDonald's French fries.
Yeah, that's it, yeah. And one of them is beef. It's guys...
On a liquid level or something?
So how is that
like
cheaper than...
It's like an eyedropper of beef.
Yeah, like, how is that cheaper than just cutting up a potato? Like...
I don't know. And why does the meat come out of a caulking gun at Taco Bell?
Yeah. Oh, I've never been to Taco Bell, as I would call it.
Taco Bell.
I've never been.
Proud sponsor.
It doesn't... It strikes me as that's definitely worse than Chipotle.
It is. And it is. For sure. And I am... from a young age, I was addicted to it like it was candy. Because I don't have much of a sweet tooth, but I do have a taco tooth.
Okay. And it's the right time to be in.
That's why you don't see me smile in a lot of photos.
All that green iceberg lettuce hanging out of your
tiny
mouth.
Just a tiny taco for a tooth.
Well, my favorite story is out of Taco Bell. Like 4 years ago, they did a story that they found that their meat was like only 40% beef, and they didn't know what the rest of the substance was. And one
sawdust.
Of the things
was
indicated was sawdust. I swear to God.
Was it actually?
Yes.
Oh my God.
Oh wow.
Yeah. Which I loved. I just think that's... I mean, you know it's bad when you're going there, but then when you actually find out what's really happening...
Imagine being the guy making that. Like, at what point are you making that as a human being thinking... Like, I know there's immoral jobs, but when you're putting dust in food...
Yeah.
And
when
that's...
When you're putting the stuff that most people try and get out of their house, and you're going, that should go in this item and in someone's mouth.
You know, if
we'll save some money and buy a yacht.
You're on at a conveyor belt with 12 other workers, and your job specifically is to saw 2x4s and sprinkle the wood dust.
Tearing up newspapers and sprinkling it into the beans.
I know that you have benefits, but are you spiritually fulfilled as a human?
I like to think that those guys, maybe when, you know, their house is dusty, rather than be depressed, think, it's dinner time. Let's add this to the recipe.
Children, gather round.
Guys, we're having dust frittatas for dinner. I'm a little bit of an expert. One of my core ingredients.
Now I know why they hired this carpenter.
Yeah.
Oh, this guy's squirrel. You know, it's always a BMW.
Always.
It's a shipment. Oh, yeah, BMW, yeah. Arrogant driver.
Do they drive shittily in the UK, too?
The big to BMW. Yeah, anyone in a big car basically drives like an arsehole.
I mean, you
drivers in this country, my favourite thing you guys do is, like, that BMW driver would probably happily put that car in a compact space.
Oh yeah, for sure.
You guys don't give a shit about that. I was driving a compact, and I was like, this is easy, because no one drives one, and then you'd see, like, a fucking stretch limo in it, and you'd be like, you guys are such polite people in this country, apart from, like, cliched when you're in a car.
You're exactly
Everyone's
right.
Everyone's an arsehole in the car.
In this town.
I am an asshole when I'm in a car.
No one has thanked me. Like, in the UK, if I'll pull over to let you go past, the hand will go up. Little hand to say thanks, or a little flash of the lights. That doesn't exist in this country.
No. Well, because they probably won't let you in the first place.
I can probably hang out with Pink Wig Guy. He's two of my least favourite people.
God,
drivers.
He really got under your skin.
Man, I'm going to be talking about him for the rest of this.
I want to find out who it
flight.
Is.
It's just going to just...
What if it turns out it was Steve Coogan?
Yeah.
And then you can't love Alan Partridge.
It was actually Dame
anymore.
Edna, and I said, nice
wig.
Should
have known by that wig.
I was like, what an arsehole. Barry Humphries, my apologies to you if you're listening.
You were just trying to have a weekend off.
He's got advert. I mean, I didn't know he was so famous. His adverts are everywhere in town. They're like on every, like, on, have you seen them? They're like,
no.
Most, there's
Does
a lot
he have
of
a
roads.
New show?
Yeah, he's got. I must have been doing his farewell tour on like roads like this, like more into town. There'll just be a pic on every lamppost. There'll be a picture of him.
Wow.
I need to look.
Is it live? A live show?
A live show. I always think will the novelty of just a guy in drag telling, but there's a mark, like,
they'll never
wear
off.
We're young, we're cutting edge comedians, but there are people a certain age. Yeah, it still is funny, to be fair. There's certain things that just will always inherently be funny.
I love drag comedy. Is one of my favorite styles of comedy because it's people who have had it really hard are always funnier than the average person, in my opinion.
Yes, totally.
And somebody that can stand, a man standing up dressed totally like a woman, is going to be hilarious.
Of course, they're
just going to be able to handle anything and be hilarious and have the best comebacks. It's my favorite.
They're
going to
be
it.
The quickest.
They are.
We met at this bar in London. It's called Cellar Door. It's an old toilet, public toilet. It's now a small bar, and they always have like drag acts. And me and Hannah went there. And there was such a good, like, he was like, basically, I didn't have a wig, but he was really kind of like, hello, darling.
Uh-huh.
And he was really nice to Hannah, but basically just caned all the other women's clothing. I was like, are you just a drag act so you can be mean to women and get away with it? That's that vibe. He was, oh, I can't believe you came out like that. Mm. It's like, if I said that, I'd get hit in the head.
That's right.
Right. I love.
I like the idea of a guy fully committing.
Just
to
a chauvinistic drag queen.
Yeah,
it's the best.
It's fantastic.
It's kind of all the fashion world.
What's
really.
Your? Just talk a little shop here.
Oh, let's talk some shop.
What's your airline?
Etihad Airways.
I don't.
What the?
I don't think they're a real company.
I've never heard of it.
That's why I have
it.
To go through Abu Dhabi.
Oh,
I assume.
Right.
I think I've flown with them before. They're like kind of quite. Affordable long distance.
Oh, wow.
They're the southwest of Abu Dhabi.
Can I give you guys a little tip? I'm going, and I always do this now, and I went vegan in January, but whether you're vegan or not,
yes,
always order the vegan meal on a flight because it'll always be the best and you'll always get half an hour before everyone else.
Oh,
really?
Yeah.
Because you know when they bring the food out, the special requests people, such as myself, get it early. And because sometimes when you order the meat, the one you want is gone if you're halfway down the plane.
Sure.
So, vegan, it's a little Chris Martin tip for any travellers out there.
Okay, well, man, I think I will do that.
Yeah, do
of
it.
Of course it's going to be more fresh, and they're only doing 5 or 6
exactly.
Smart.
So I have no idea what these guys are going to be like. I'm going to be on there for 14 hours. I hope good movies. I flew Norwegian here.
That's the only way to pass the time is watch a bunch of movies that are edited down, movies that you would never have otherwise seen
exactly.
With Bradley Cooper in them.
And, Nicholas Sparks novels turned into movies.
A cab driver actually said, he goes, you look like Nicolas Cage. No, not Nicolas Cage. He goes, Bradley Cooper. And I thought, is it because I'm just wearing aviators and I have a beard? And he was like, yeah, you have the glasses and the beard. I was like, yeah, that's not how lookalikes work. You have to facially have some similarities.
I would first ask him if he had seen American Sniper, a lot of cab drivers probably don't like that movie.
Yeah, he was actually, I forgot where this guy was from. He was from Armenia. What I also like about LA is, like, you've got, like, you don't mess around with the names of the areas. So there's Koreatown, there's,
right.
like, Little Armenia's. Hannah went through Ethiopia Town, and it's like, oh, this is like, we've got Chinatown, it's like Soho, it's like still an eclectic mix of people.
Yeah,
obviously
yeah.
quite a lot of Chinese, but as soon as you get into Koreatown, it's like, oh, this is where you
a real deal.
You have to be Korean.
Yeah.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, it's so odd. That,
it
like,
is odd. I just have gotten used to it, but I don't know if that's a good thing.
Ethiopia Town, she said it was like she'd like driven into the front part of a marathon and it was just like long distance looking runners.
Yeah.
Like, I was like, that's crazy. That,
yeah.
that's
and really good restaurants, apparently.
Yeah, everyone's eating
on that little strip.
And no one is holding a fork. You
really?
Have to eat with, they have like this spongy bread.
I love it, your hands. Great.
And you just eat with your hands and you're
Fantastic.
Not on a chair, you're sitting on a pillow.
I love it.
It's very messy, very uncomfortable, very delicious.
That's it. It's
I love it.
What
I love
it feels
Ethiopian.
Like in your belly. It's not about the pro. You bet you'd have to queue outside for half an hour.
Yes.
That's
the
how you know
Ethiopia
good.
Club. So do you know which, is there a part of the airport I'm supposed to be in?
There is a international part of the airport. Which
Tom Bradley.
It's like right in the cul-de-sac of the airport, if
Fantastic.
You will. Will you?
Are you about? Are you collecting? It'd be good if you could collect another comedian on the way back.
It would be so great.
It would be great. It's hard. It has worked out that way before, but it's always cutting it so close because there's a delay or someone lands early. It's risky business.
Who have you got next?
Well, we haven't thought. Beyond
yeah.
you.
Yeah, that's that.
We
that's we do
you'd
the
make
same.
A good Bon Voyage
oh.
final episode. So.
Yeah, this is it. This is, well, yeah.
this is it.
This is the end of year special in February.
We have one in the bank, Jake Johansson, that'll be coming out tomorrow, and then you will be
Jake
coming
Johansson.
Out the following Monday.
Jake Johansson, is he any relation to Pete Johansson, who is a Canadian
No, but
comedian.
I know Pete Johansson. He's hilarious.
Pete's great, yeah. His wife and my fiancée are very good friends. They actually set us up, so...
Oh, nice.
Give him a shout out, yeah?
He's from Canada, right?
He is from Canada.
Yeah, I haven't seen him in years.
Very funny.
Do you go up to Canada often, Chris?
Not since I was 15, so I'm going to go with rarely on that one.
When you were 15, you were probably like a feature act.
Yeah, I was closing shows. I got really caught up in drugs and stuff, and I've just started to rebuild my career at the age of 28.
You're the Robert Downey Jr.
Yeah, I took a few. I basically ripped some crisps up at a party and left, and then I've been doing a lot of commercials.
Thought Stephanie Escajeda was a real person. It was you wearing a wig. Now you have now I know why you have such strong opinions about wigs
and how you're supposed to act.
I want because you might have some other comedians in town and maybe LA based people listening.
Yes,
if they're at a party and I see a guy with a wig. Say nice wig and see if it's maybe just one of those things that is really frowned upon in the wig wearing community.
And you know what? Just in general, say nice wig.
Just say
nice wig.
Say it to a guy that's actually bald. That would be fun.
Etihad? Is that what you said?
Etihad, yeah. Yes. Well, yeah, that one there. We'll go to the right bit. Great. B.
Okay. Etihad.
Cool.
I guess maybe like if you said nice hair to someone, that would just sound riddled with sarcasm. So like,
yeah.
I was actually being, maybe it's in my accent. I don't know. But he's English. I've got a nice wig. If you had nice hair.
Yeah, if anyone's going to understand you, it should have been that pink-wigged asshole.
Pink-wigged pommy fuck.
We all hate him.
God, I hate that guy.
I don't even have to meet him or see him. I want to kick him in the face.
Well, there's nothing worse, though, than... should I just pull over here?
Yeah.
This might be our
best
friend.
It's a funny form of, like, sort of... just like negative stereotyping, like to just hate all men in pink wigs. All white men in pink wigs. I think it's their time. We're here.
We are here. And this is the point. Chris, by the way, just as enjoyable to have you on my podcast as it was to be on yours. You're terrific fun to talk to.
Thanks, man. Thank you for having me. Thanks for doing our podcast.
We have and we can't not do our sign off, but it involves us honking. And
this is not going to be good. We're butted up against.
There's no way you can do it and act like it's meant to be.
This
friendly.
Is the point where I utilize my mouth horn.
Yes, because this guy will kick your guys' ass while I stand by and watch.
This family, I can tell they're quick to violence.
And I don't want to stereotype, but I think they might be on my flight.
Yes.
Well,
they're definitely going to go to an emirate of some sort somewhere. I'd say.
So, thank you, Chris Martin, for being on Do You Need a Ride?
Yes,
you were
so
terrific.
Nice to meet
Thanks,
you.
Thanks, guys.
Have a good trip.
Thank you so much.
Have the best of trips.
And what will you tell everybody the name of your podcast you can be sister podcast?
It's the really subtly titled Carl Donnelly and Chris Martin Comedy Podcast. Is it on the All Things Comedy website, which you guys are part of as well?
Yes.
And if you live in the Australia area, Chris will be
any part
in
of Australia, guys.
Yes,
small. Just stroll down.
Sydney, go on down
Take
to Bill Brisbane or Melbourne. I've never been there. I don't know the name. Yeah, no, Brisbane. So it sounds like a hitman that would wear a lot of sweatsuits.
Yeah.
And check out Chris's comedy. He's terrific.
Yes.
You've been listening to Do You Need a Ride?
DYNAR.